All right, Jabosai. A good morning, a good night. Let's begin. We have a beautiful daf today. Today's daf is Mem Hey 45. We are picking up Mem Dalid Amud Beis. Actually, we're picking up 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. Ika de Amri. So there are those who have a different version of yesterday's exchange. Arma Ula. Ketana shenis kachal al dasu. So remember, again, we're dealing with the interesting sugya of a ketana who accepted kiddushin without the consent of her father. So Ula said, a ketana who became a kudeshes, shalol al dasavia, without the consent, without the knowledge of her father, afilu miyun eino tricho, she does not even require miyun. Remember, again, we discussed the idea that she should require miyun yesterday in order that what? In order that people not consider her a migureshes, and therefore end up prohibiting her sister to ultimately marry the individual whom she was supposedly married to. So Masra of Kahana, Rav Kahana raised the kasha, the kulan im mesu o miyunu onis karshu, ocean imtsu islandis, Sarosehan Mutaros. So we'll say, now we're going to go back a little bit to our Yevamos days. So if you remember again, if you look at Rashi, I know that doesn't, it's not very exciting for most. But if you look at Rashi just a moment, Rashi says over here, Divrei Maschil V'Kulon, it's about 6 lines in, it's 5 lines in the wide lines of Rashi. So it says, V'Kulon Tesav Arayo Sheshaninu B'Yevamos, Shepotros Sarosein, V'Tzarot Sarosein Minachalit. So remember again, Abosa, we had a list of 15 women who exempt their co-wives from chalitza, from yibum or chalitza. Remember again that there are certain circumstances where yibum cannot be performed, but chalitza is still a necessity, but there are other circumstances where chalitza is not even obligated. So 15 women who exempt their co-wives from chalitza. So if you skip down to the last 2 lines of Rashi, Rashi is v'katoni bito ba'osan tesvav. So we'll say, one of the 15 women who exempt their co-wives from yibum, or chalitza, I should say, is the daughter. Well, so now this would be a case of, imagine you have 2 brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Shimon's daughter married Reuven, meaning a man could marry his niece. So Shimon's daughter married Reuven. Reuven dies without children. Let's say Reuven has 2 wives. So now both of them fall to Yibum to Shimon. One of the women who falls to Yibum to Shimon is who? Is who? Shimon's daughter. So that's one of the cases where, because Shimon's daughter is obviously exempt from Yibum Chalitza, she also exempts her co-wife as well. So Rashi says, V'ka'amar de'im miyana b'chayi achei abiha, shubaylo, umeis la'achar miyun, sarasa misevemes la'aviha. So we'll say, however, again, the Gemara there says that if Shimon's daughter, who was married to Reuven, her uncle, did miyun, while her father's brother, who was her husband, was still alive, right, thereby going ahead and dissolving her marital union to her uncle, then when her uncle slash husband dies, then what? Then lemaisa, again, the tsara, the co-wife, will in fact be obligated to do yibum. Amo, yeshlan abito mema'enes, b'chayaviya ve'chidami. So now let's go back to the Gemara. So we just read a little bit ahead. So ask Rav Kano, v'kulon imesu o miyanu onis garshu. So we'll say, any of these 15 women who normally go ahead and exempt their co-wife from performing yibum, if any of these women either died, meaning pre-deceased their husband, o miyanu, or did miyun while still married to the husband, o nisgarshu, or were divorced from the husband, o shenimtsu islandis, or were turned out to be an islandis, incapable of having children. So we'll say, in other words, in all of these cases, any of these 15 women, if their marital union dissolved before the death of the husband, then sarosehen mutaros. Then ultimately, again, their co-wives are mutar. So now asks the Gemara. So remember, now the case we're focusing on is the case of where Shimon's daughter was married to his brother Reuven, and ultimately, again, Reuven dies. And now, the kid Shaman. So who betrothed this girl? Meaning, again, how did Shimon's daughter become married ultimately to Reuven? Say, if you want to say that ultimately her father was Mekadesher, in other words, that her father, Shimon, gave his daughter over to Reuven to be his wife. So if that's the case, B'miyon Sagila, Gita Ma'al Yabaya. So we'll remember again, the Mishnah saying over here that any of these 15 women, if they did miyun, that ultimately dissolves the marital union. Now let's analyze this. So how did Shimon's daughter come to marry her uncle Reuven? So if you say that Shimon gave his daughter over in Kiddushin to his brother, which is his biblical right, then what? That's fine, except what? The only way to dissolve that union is with a get. meaning you cannot dissolve that union with miyun. Elalav de kidsha ihi nafsha. Rather, it must be a case where what? This girl, Shimon's daughter, gave herself over in marriage to her uncle, to Reuven. And yet, what do we see? Vikatoni de bayu miyun. And we see that even in a case of where a ketana is mekadesh herself, you still require miyun ultimately again to dissolve that union. So we'll see this contradicts Ula, because Ula said before that what? That if a ketana is mekadesh herself, Rabbi said, then what does she need to dissolve the union? What does she need? No. Ula, nothing. Why? Because ultimately, again, it's the actions of a ketana. And Ula says the actions of a ketana are absolutely meaningless. Yet here we see that the actions of a ketana, in fact, are meaningful and would require miyun to dissolve it. To which the Gemara says, "Hu mosiv la v'hu mefarik la." Yes, question. He answers it. Kigon shenaase la maisi yison bechayi ha'av. Oh, the case we're talking about over here, I will say, is where literally she became an orphan during the lifetime of her father. Now, what's that case? Look at Rashi. Maisi yison bechayi ha'av. Kigon shesia avia la'acher. The case over there that we could be talking about is where her father already married her off to someone else, and what happened? Vinis armalo. Onis garsha bekat nusa. And what happens? She was widowed or divorced while she was still a minor. Shahari hi bechaye avia ki yisoma. Dechevon sheisia ein la avia rishusba. Va'achar kein kad shehiyas atzma. So we'll say, listen to this. Remember, the ability, we've learned this before, the ability for a father to marry off his daughter is a one-time event. So what does it mean that she became an orphan during her father's lifetime? So for example, if the father marries her off, and then what? She's widowed or she's divorced. So we'll say she may still be a ketana. But despite that, the father no longer has the right to go ahead and marry her off. So that would be a case where, that could be a case where she's still a ketana, but she married herself off, let's say in this case to her uncle Reuven. And in that case, the halacha is, if she wants to dissolve that union, she could dissolve that union with miyun. To which the Gemara says, Maser of Hamnun, Rav Hamnun is the kasha, Ein mocher lekrovim, Mishum Rabbi Lazar or mocher lekrovim. So we actually learned this sugi before. So we have machlokes over here. Remember, when you sell your daughter as an amo ivri, as a Hebrew maidservant, the goal ultimately is that sale result in marriage. That's the goal. We ultimately want the master to marry the maidservant. So now the shaila is, can you go ahead and sell off your daughter to a karov, to relatives whom technically cannot marry her? So Rav Hamnuna said, you can't sell your daughter to relatives because lamaisa, then marriage is not possible. Mishur b'lazra or mochel l'krovim. And Amr b'lazra said, no, you can go ahead and marry her off to relatives. Tap of memhei vishavin, but both agree shemochra amar lekoin gadol, that if the girl is a widow, you can marry her to a kohen gadol. Even though technically speaking, a kohen gadol can't marry an amara. But I will say, look at Rashi. Rashi says vishavin shemochra amara hoil v'yesh lo ba kiddushin. So we'll say they all agree that what? Technically speaking, you can marry her up to a kohen gadol. Why? Because we'll say even though a kohen gadol is not permitted to marry an amana, but what? If he did, the kiddushin works. So in other words, we'll say what everybody seems to require over here is that as long as technically there could be a marriage, even if what? It's not a sanctioned or kosher marriage. Technically speaking, the sale of this girl is an amri vriya will work. Similarly, grusha v'chalutza l'koin hedyot. Similarly, again, even if she's a grusha, she's a chalutza, you could sell her off to a koin hedyot. Even though what? L'chatchila koin hedyot should not marry a grusha. But technically speaking, if he did, kiddushin tovsin. Which means that marriage could take effect in a marriage, in a union that's prohibited by a law. The only person who disagrees with this is, remember again, this is the famous shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that in kiddushin tovsin b'chayvi lavin. Not only that, but remember, Rabbi Akiva says that the child of a chayvi lavin marriage is a mamzer. Right? Rabbi Akiva has a very, very chumradika stance over here. In any event, so the Gemara says, Hay amana hechi damis. Let's analyze this for a moment. What is the case of amana? So what is the case of where a father is selling his amana daughter as an ama ivriya to a kohen gadol? What's the case? Hechi dami. Ilema de kid sha'avia. See, if you're talking about a case, let's just be clear. So now we've established that it is permitted to sell your almana daughter to a Kohen Gadol as an Amoivriya. Now let's analyze this. The only time you could sell your daughter as an Amoivriya is before she becomes good, when she's a minor, right? When she's a Ktana slash Nara. But Lamai, so what's the case here? So the Gemara says, if you want to say that the father already betrothed her once, and now she became an almana because her first husband died. Does the father have the ability to sell her anymore? We learn this sugya that a man, a father, is not permitted to go ahead and sell his daughter as a shivcha after there's already been marriage. So that can't be the case. Rather, one must be the case. How is she an almana? Because she married herself off, right? She accepted kiddushin of her own. And then she was widowed. And what do you see from here? Vika kari le amana. And yet when her first husband dies, we call it amana. What do you see from here? You see from here that lamaisa, even when a kitana accepts kiddushin on her own, then what? It's a valid marriage. Contradicts ula. Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, no. Hacha b'kiddusha yiyud. Oh, we'll say the case over here is where what? Father had previously sold her as an ama ivriya, and the master did yiyud. What's yud, Rabosai? Yud essentially is kiddushin. Master did kiddushin with her. So listen to this. Va'aliba de Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, de Amar Maos Harishonos, lav l'kiddushin nitnu. And this goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the original money, so Rabosai, when a father sells his daughter, that money that is received is not Kesef Kiddushin. Remember we saw this machlokis earlier about how Kiddushin is affected with an Amo Ivriya. So two different mechanisms. So almost everyone seems to hold that the money that's paid for the Amo Ivriya in fact is Kesef Kiddushin. And therefore all the Adon has to do is what? Is to go ahead and change his mind and decide that he wants to marry this girl. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kiddushin is affected by the master forgiving the remaining servitude that the girl has towards him. So he converts the leftover servitude into the Kesef Kiddushin. So for Bosa, listen to this. So if you hold the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the original monies paid for the Amo Ivriya are not Kesef Kiddushin, therefore what happens over here? The Adon is Mekadesh, the girl, ultimately with what? With the remaining money left on her servitude. Therefore, this would be a case when a father goes out and sells his daughter as an Amo Ivriya, that is not considered to be as if he's giving her over in Kiddushin. Therefore, I will say, in this case over here, watch this. In this case, where the master did Yud, but then died before the marriage was fully consummated, then what happens? She becomes an Almana, but father still has the right to go ahead and sell her again. Why? Because that's not going to be called Shivchos Achar Ishus. Why? Because the father never gave her away in Ishus. The father only gave her in Shivchos. Therefore, again, the father still has the ability to sell her to Shivcha. Again, this goes according to the opinion that Yesh Shivchos Achar Shivchos. That would be the case of where he's giving over his Almana daughter to a Kohen Gadol as a Shivcha. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is over here, B'Kiddushe Yiyud, Shinis Almana M'Kiddushe Yiyud. She was widowed from Kiddushin. V'im tomar halo ayde avia ba'ula v'habelei mocha le'ishos ha'shuv v'ne mocha le'shivchos ha'mas di'isan liv d'rav yosi d'ar ma'os ha'rishon ha'shuv v'kabla ha'mechira lav le'kiddushin netu el le'shivchos v'yud she'tofis ba machmas she'poches prutos pu'ulo she'yesh lo aleha ba v'lo ayde avia. So okay, so fine, therefore we'll say that's the case we're setting it up. So therefore it turns out that Lamaisa, remember, we already, I kind of gave this away yesterday, we pass like Ula, that at the end of the day, Maisa Kitana is meaningless. And therefore, Aloha Lamaisa, if a Kitana accepts Kiddushin on her own behalf, she doesn't require a get, she doesn't require meal, she doesn't require chalitza, absolutely nothing, because the actions of the Kitana are absolutely meaningless. The Gemara wanted to bring up these other cases ultimately as ways of disproving Ula, but we've disproven each of these cases, we've disproven the disproofs, if that makes sense. So says the Gemara weiter, Itmar, Mace. So we'll say, now we go weiter. So let's say the guy dies. Now which guy dies? Look at Rashi, Itmar Mace. Zeshe Kidsha Shlo Dasavia. So we'll say, so you understand, lesson number one for today is halacha lemaisa like Ula, that if a girl accepts kiddushin on her own behalf, that action is meaningless. She does not require miyun, she does not require a get, nothing. Okay, now, yes.
This is prior to Nisuin.
Meaning, yeah, well, so good. So Ari Singer, meaning up until now, we're talking about a Ketana that accepted Kiddushin on her own behalf. We're going to get to Nisun in just a little bit. Right now we're talking about Kiddushin. Good. So watch this. Itmar, Mace. The guy dies. Now which guy died? Rashi says, Zeshe Kitsha Shalo Dasaviha. The guy that married the Ketana daughter without the father's knowledge died. You know, the circumstances are still under investigation. Right? But so the guy died. So what happens? The Nafla Lifnei Echav Liyibu. So we'll say, now we're taking this a step further. So remember again, Ketana accepts Kiddushin without the consent of her father. Her quote-unquote husband died. She now falls before his brothers, for Yibum. So what's Talocha? Amrav Huna Amrav Mima'enes Rabosei. So remember, this Gemara now is going in the other Shitas other than Ula. Because remember, according to Ula, what's the Halacha? Nothing. Remember, according to Ula, this discussion never gets off the ground because there's no Yibum discussion because there was never a marriage. But according to the other opinions who hold that the actions of a Ketana do have some semblance of validity. So what happens? So says the Gemara, Amrav Huna Amrav, Mima'enes L'ma'amaro, Ve'ina Mima'enes L'zeikaso. So Rav Huna said name of Rav, that's what? She does Miyun. She does Miyun. If the Yavam, if the surviving brother does Ma'amar, remember we spoke about Ma'amar yesterday, Ma'amar is the Yibum equivalent of Kiddushin, right? So you're going ahead now, let's say the surviving brother does Ma'amar, so the halacha is, the widow, has to do Miyun to offset his Ma'amar, but she need not do Miyun in order to offset the regular Zeka. Now remember, Zeka refers to the connection. Zeka refers to the general Yibam connection that exists between the Yivam and the Yavam. So the Gemara says, case, what's the case over here? Asaba Ma'amar, if the surviving brother did Ma'amar with this girl, so Tzricha Get, Utzricha Chalitza, Utzricha Miyun. So we'll say this is wild. So what's going to happen? She requires three things. She requires a Get, she requires Chalitza, she requires Miyun. Why? So Tzricha Get, Shamanistrat Sahaav Bikidushe Sheni. So we'll say she requires a Get. Why? Because maybe the father wasn't in favor of the first marriage, but then when now the surviving brother goes ahead and does Ma'amar, maybe the father is in favor of that, and therefore she's going to require a get to dissolve that union. So tzricha get shem nesratza b'kiddushei sheni. Furthermore, tzricha chalitza, she requires chalitza. Why? Shem nesratza ha'av b'kiddushei rishon. Because maybe the father was in favor of the first kiddushin. Therefore, again, Abba said, maybe the father was retroactively in favor of the first kiddushin, which means that what? Which means she was married to the first guy, which means that she's technically subject to Yibum, and therefore she requires chalitza to get out of the marriage to the second brother. And furthermore, tzricha miyun, why does she require miyun? Shema lo nisratza av lo b'kiddusha, yishon lo b'kiddusha sheni. Let's say she requires miyun, why? Because maybe the father didn't want the first marriage, and he doesn't want the second marriage. He doesn't want the marriage to the first brother, and he doesn't want yibum to the second brother. So why would she require miyun at all? Well, since this goes back to yesterday's sugya. Remember, if the father didn't want either of the marriages, then what? Then what? Then Lamai says she's not married at all. If she's not married at all, then why does she require miyun? Oh, the yomru ein kiddushin tov sin ba'achosa. So we'll say, remember again, this goes back to yesterday's case, that even if you hold that the father didn't want either of the relationships, we're still going to make her do miyun, because we're concerned that because it looks like there was a marital union, if that marital union is dissolved, people might say that the ketana is a grusha. If she's a grusha, then what? Then remember again, there's an isra of achos grusha. So you are not permitted to marry the sister of the woman you divorced, and people may assume that the sister of this ketana is prohibited to this particular man. Therefore, in order to avoid that, we tell her to do miyun. Once she does miyun, then what? Then lemaisa again, there's no concern at all that anything happened over here, and therefore again, the man will be permitted ultimately again to. The man will be permitted to the sister of this ketana girl. So says the Gemara. On the other hand, lo asaba ma'amar, But if the Yavam, if the surviving brother did not do Ma'amar with this girl, then what? Eino tzricha ela chalitza bilvad. The Rabbi will say, in that case, if he didn't do Ma'amar, then all she requires is chalitza. Why? Why? Because the Rabbi will say, again, that chalitza is there. Why? In the event that perhaps the father was in favor of the first marital union. So the Gemara says, Ma'amrit. So what will you say? Tiboy nami miyun. I maybe will say that she should require miyun as well. Why? Shema yomru in kiddushin tovsin ba'achosa. Because maybe you'll say she should require miyun, lest people say that this man is not permitted to marry the ketana's sister. To which the Gemara says, I'll call yodin achos chalutza d'rabanan. Because that's not a concern. Why? The concern only is when people may think that the man divorced this girl, and therefore her sister may be considered to be the sister of his divorcee. But everyone knows, in the case of chalitza, meaning what's the worst case scenario, that there was chalitza, everyone knows that achos chalutzaso, the sister of your chalutza, is only aser midirabana. The Omer Reish Lakish, Kan Shana Rebbe, Achas Gerusha Midaraisa, the sister of your divorcee is aser to you midaraisa, but achos chalutza midirei sofrim. But the sister of a woman with whom you did chalitza, that woman is only aser midirabanan. So because the iser is only dirabanan, therefore what? Therefore we don't require her ultimately to do miyun in this case. Fine. So that's the end of that particular sugya. Next. So now we come to an interesting case. Listen to this case. There are two men who were drinking beer together underneath the willow tree in Bavel. Sounds nice. Right? They're drinking beer underneath the willow tree together in Bavel. Also, by the way, just so you should know, this is, you know, I know this, I talk about this on Pesach. Remember, again, I both say, they did not drink wheat beer, they drank date beer. Right? That was clear, Bavel, it was all date beer. So the Gemara says the following. I know that bothered everyone. So the Gemara says the following. So what happens? Shako chaminar kaza de chamra. Listen to this. So one of the guys took a glass of beer. Yohev le lechavre. And he gave it to his friend. And he said, Amar, mikanshali barteich libri. So with this glass of beer, let your daughter become mikudeshes to my son. Okay, so this is an interesting case here. So now, this is the father of the son, the father of the chassan, so to speak, the father of the son, is giving the glass of beer to the father of the girl, saying, with this glass of beer, let your daughter become betrothed to my son. Amar Ravina said, afilu l'man damar chayshina shem nisratza av. So Ravina said, even according to the opinion that says that if a girl accepts kiddushin on her own behalf, that sometimes the father will acquiesce, says the Gemara Amadeus, Sheman Estratza Habein Lo Amrinon. So when we say that sometimes if a girl does something on her own, her father may ex post facto agree to what it is that she did, that's only by a girl. But we never assume that if a father acts on behalf of his son, to marry off his son, without the son knowing, we never assume that the son agrees to his father's actions. Both sides, this is an amazing yisod. So meaning, it could be that if a girl does something on her own, her father may agree to her actions. But if a father does something on his son's behalf without the son's knowledge, we never assume that what? That the son would agree to that. Now both sides, this goes back to something we learned in the beginning of this parak. Take a look at Rashi. A son will never agree to kiddushin affected by his father on his behalf without his consent. Because remember why? You see, a father, as much as we don't want a kitana accepting kiddushin on her behalf without her father's consent, there's the possibility that after the father hears about it, he will consent. Why? Why? Because the Bible says, because that's what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, of the Perek, Tan L'Mesav, Tan L'Mesav Armala. Because again, it's better to be married to someone than to be married to no one. The idea being that a father, when he hears that his daughter is married, he'll say, okay, not the guy I would have chosen for her. Not the guy I would have chosen for her. A common sentiment felt by fathers-in-law. I'm sorry?
One less to feed,
right? Good, right? So no, on a serious level, meaning, so, she, yeah, look, it's not the guy I would have chosen for her, but Lamaisa, she did this. So there's a concept ultimately, again, that perhaps he would agree to it. But I will say, this, that svara does not apply by the father of a chassan. By the father of a chassan, again, ultimately, again, the son will have his pick, the son will have have his choices, and therefore ultimately, again, we never assume that a father could act on his son's behalf without the son's knowledge. Well, maybe the father was acting on his son's behalf, meaning maybe the father was acting on his son's behalf as a shaliach, to which the Gemara says, "Lo chotzef inish l'shavi abu shaliach." A person would never have chutzpah to appoint his father as a shaliach. To appoint him as well, to ask your father to serve as your shaliach ultimately is an incredible chutzpah. A son would never do that. The Dilma artsuye artsei kamei. Well, maybe the son spoke to his father in nice terms about this girl. Meaning, maybe at the end of the day, the son expressed interest in this girl. The father heard this, and therefore, again, the father is acting on his son's behalf. Amrle Rava Barav Simi Beferush Amr Mar Delo Savrla Lahad Derav Shmuel. So, what says at the end of the day? At the end of the day, Rabba Bar Simi said explicitly, or I should say, so Amar Le Rav Simi, Rabba Bar Simi Beferush Amar Mar said explicitly, Delo Sabar Laha Durav Ushmuel, that he doesn't hold in this Shita Rav Shmuel. We'll say, what's the Shita Rav Shmuel? Look at Rashi, Beferush. So Ravina said explicitly that he doesn't hold Beferush. Shamati Menu Delo Sabar Le Rav Lidirav Ushmuel. So we'll say Ravina rejects the notion of Rav and Shmuel. What did Rav and Shmuel say? That perhaps in a case of where a Kitana went ahead and accepted Kiddushin without her father's consent, maybe ex post facto the father consents to that Kiddushin. Ravina said explicitly that he does not subscribe to that notion of Rav and Shmuel. So if he doesn't subscribe to that notion by a Kitana, he certainly what? Does not subscribe to this idea that a father could act as a shaliach on behalf of his son, to accept Kiddushin on behalf of his son, even if what? Even if the son did speak in nice terms about this girl. Therefore, Rabosai, in this case, the halacha is that there's absolutely no kiddushin that takes place. That even if, again, the father said to the father of the son, said to the father of the girl, father of the boy, said, accept this glass of beer as kiddushin from your daughter to my son, such an act is absolutely meaningless without the explicit consent and foreknowledge of the son. Says the Gemara, another case, Rabosai. Another case, Chau Gavra, Dikadish Bekisha, Diyakab Ashuka, another interesting case. A man was Mekadish a girl, Bekisha Diyaka. Kisha Diyaka is a bundle of vegetables, Beshuka, in the marketplace. So he gave her a bundle of vegetables, which were worth a pruta, in the marketplace. Amravina, Afilaman Damrachoshishin Shemanetrat Sa'av. So we'll say, so this case again, is where he's trying to Mekadesh a Ketana. So even the one who says that sometimes after a Ketana accepts Kiddushin, her father will agree to the Kiddushin, that's only Hani Nirik Derech Kavod. That's only if the Kiddushin was done in a Bakavadik way. About Derech Bizayon, but in a degrading way, like this particular case, there's no way the father would agree with the Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, only Rav Acha Midifti Lo Ravina, Bizayon Demai. What's the Derech Bizayon in this case? I Bizayon Di Yarka. If you want to say it's a bizayon because we'll say to be mekadesh with a bundle of vegetables, so that's a big bizayon. So are you saying the bizayon is the vegetables, or e bizayon the shuka, or is the bizayon the shuk? In other words, they will say, so what's the bizayon over here? That he used a bundle of vegetables as the tool, as the mechanism for kiddushin, or is that he was mekadesh in the shuk, that he was mekadesh in the marketplace, which is just simply not nice. So nafkami, what's nafkami, no? The kaddish bakas babashuka. O bikish diakabes. Of course, the nafkamina would be if the problem is the vegetables. So if he gave her money, but it was in the shuk, it would be okay. Or if the problem is the shuk, if he gave her vegetables, but in the house, then it should be okay as well. So my what's talocho? Amrle idi diach bizayinu. The problem is both of these things. So both say both the vegetables as well as the location of the shuk are both problematic. So therefore, again, whether you use vegetables in a private setting, the kiddushin is still not good. Or whether you went in and you used the most expensive ring, but it was in the shuk, is also not good. In other words, so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, even according to the opinion of Rav and Shmuel who hold, that ex post facto, maybe a father would agree with the kiddushin that his minor daughter accepted without his original knowledge, that's only if it's derech kavod. That's only, again, if it's an acceptable form of kiddushin. But again, if either the mechanism, the tool of Kiddushin, or the location of Kiddushin is Derech Bizon, the father would not acquiesce to that. Another case, which is also a great case. Hu Amar Lekrivai, the He Amar Lekriva. Let's listen to this. There was a man and his wife who had an argument. What was the argument? Who to marry off their daughter to? The husband wanted to marry off their daughter to one of his relatives. That's who the Amra Likrivai. I want her to marry in my family. The He Amra Likriva. And she said, she being the wife, said, no, I want our daughter to marry my relative. So we'll see now how this story ends. So Kaf say, Ada Amarla to have a Likriva. Fine. So of course, what happened? So Kaf say means literally like she bound him up. In other words, she pushed him. She spoke nicely to him until she convinced him that this would be a good idea for the daughter to go ahead and marry into her family. Fine. So husband finally acquiesced. So now they're marrying off their daughter to one of the members of the wife's family. So watch this. So they made a seuda. So this was a seuda to celebrate the Kiddushin, but again, the Kiddushin did not yet take place. So this is like the Davart, right? So they made Davart, everybody's there celebrating. Bosa says, wow, listen to this. Ada Achli Vishasi, as everybody's celebrating the Kiddushin that is about to take place between the girl and the member of the wife's family, Asa Krive, Be'igra, V'kidsha, one of the husband's relatives took the daughter, took the katana upstairs and gave her Kesef Kiddushin. Was Mekadisher. So now the husband's relative, Kibos, you can imagine this. So the Suda's happening downstairs, right? The Vart is happening downstairs. But again, I want to be clear. Kiddushin did not yet happen with the wife's relative. So they're celebrating the Kiddushin that's about to take place. The husband's relative takes the girl upstairs and gives her Kiddushin. So what's this? What's the halacha? So I'm Rabbi. So we'll say, so now here's the interesting Shaila. So remember, this is a case of Kiddushay Kitana without the knowledge of the father. Now, why is this case a little bit more complicated? What's the halacha? Why does Gemara bring up this case? Because this is what the father really wanted. Right? This is what the father really wanted. So remember again, you've seen all the previous cases, we're talking about the fact that the father expressed no previous desire for the marriage. The shaila is ex post facto, does he want it? In this case, he clearly articulated a desire for his daughter to marry one of his relatives. He gave in to his wife. I'm sorry, I didn't give it. He was convinced by your arguments, right? He was convinced by your arguments, and so he decided to go ahead and give the daughter over to her relative in marriage. But now, Lemaisa, his relative was Mekadisher. So what happens in this case? Listen to this. I'm Rabbi. Nope. The Kiddushin does not work. In other words, the Kiddushin of the husband's relative does not work. Why? Ksiv, Sheiris, Yisrael, Lo Yasu, Avlo, Lo Yidabru Chazov. Because the Pasuk in Sefanya says the remnant of Israel will not perform an avlos, something inappropriate, nor do they speak falsehoods. And as Rabbi said, that once the husband gave his word that his daughter was going to marry one of the wife's relatives, that word stands, and we do not assume that he is retracting or recanting on that word. Rashi says, Lo ya'asu avlo, for lo chashinan baha, shamanisrat sa'av daha hadr be'mi dibure. We do not say, once a person gives their word, so your word stands. Your word stands, and we do not assume that the husband is going to retract what he said. Rava Amar, Rava said, Rava is much more practical. Ein chazaka, ein adam torech besudu mafsida. There's another reason why there's no way the husband is going to agree to this Kiddushin. Why? Because then I have to make another Vart. Right? Tonight. So remember, I already spent the money on this Suda. If I spend the money on this Suda, you are marrying this guy. Right? If I have, because if I accept the other Kiddushin, then Lamaisa, again, we have to make another Suda. So there's a chazaka that a person does not spend money only to have that money go to waste. So my ben Arab say, what's the practical difference? So of course the nafkamina would be the following case. This is a case of where he already made the su'udah to celebrate the upcoming kiddushin to the relative of his wife. Let's say the same case happened but without the su'udah. So if you hold like Abaye that this is a din of keeping your word, so su'udah, no su'udah doesn't make a difference. Once the husband gave his word that ultimately he's going to allow his daughter to marry his wife's relative, that word stands. According to Rava, where the issue over here is a financial issue, so if there was no money yet expended, it could very well be that Lamaisa what? That Lamaisa, again, she could in fact accept the kiddushin for that, the kiddushin of the second kiddushin, I should say, it's really the first kiddushin, but the kiddushin of the husband's relative would in fact stand. Okay, interesting. Machlokes Abaye and Rava, says the Gemara Vayter. Niskanshe l'das avia. In other words, another interesting case. Let's say she became a kudeshes. L'das avia. So we'll say, so this is a different case. So, and here over here, the kiddushin happened with the father's consent. With the father's consent. And what happened? So, Ari, this is your question. Or actually, it's a little bit different than your question. Because in this case over here, the kiddushin took place with the knowledge of the father. But however, the father now goes overseas, and the girl accepts, does nisuin on her own. Suppose that under normal circumstances, when a father marries off his minor daughter, both kiddushin and nisuin are done with the consent of the father. In this case here, kiddushin was done with the consent of the father, but the father went overseas, the girl did nisuin herself. Suppose that the Gemara is going to deal with over here, let's say she marries a kohen. So the shaila is what? The shaila is, can she eat truma? So Amar Rav said, "Ocheles b'truma ad sheyavo aviha b'imcha." So Rav says she could eat truma. We treat her as like a married woman until her father comes and ultimately objects. In other words, that we assume that the nisuin is good, unless of course the father comes back and tells us to the contrary. In other words, what Rav is saying is the chazaka is that if the father betrothed to this man, then what? Then what? He's going to agree ultimately to nisuin as well. She's still a ketana. So obviously, if the father comes back and objects to the nisuin, the father does have that right, and then we'll have a little bit of a problem. But Rav essentially says there's no reason to assume that the father is going to object to the nisuin if he's the one ultimately who entered her into the kiddushin. So the Gemara says, Rav Asi says, "Eino acheles ad sheyabo aviha b'yimcha." So the Nim says, "Excuse me, eino acheles ad eino acheles." Rav Asi says, "No, she may not eat. She may not eat. Why? Shema yavo aviha b'yimcha." The Nim says, "Zara acheles b'truma l'mafreya." Because we'll say so on the other hand, Rav Asi is concerned that no, she can't eat truma until the father comes back and ultimately enters her into nisuin, because there's a concern that if she in fact goes ahead and marries this man and begins to eat truma, if the father does come back and object to this nisuin, it turns out that what? Turns out that a non-kohenes was eating truma. Therefore, says Rav Asi, we have to wait till the father comes back in order for nisuin to be affected. Hava uvda. So an episode like this once happened. V'chash la Rav lahad Rav Asi, and Rav was concerned. Rav was choshech for the shita Rav Asi, and Rav did not allow the girl to eat truma. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak said, "Umode Rav." Rav would agree. Shemesa ino yarsha. So we'll say even Rav, who says that in this case where the father entered the daughter into kiddushin, then went overseas. So remember, Rav says, and then the girl does nisuin. Rav says that lemaisa what? Lemaisa she could eat truma. But however, even Rav would agree that if the girl dies, the husband does not inherit her, but rather again it's the father who inherits her. Why? Uki mamona becheskas mare. Because ultimately, we'll say we establish the money the money remains in under the jurisdiction of the one who has the chazaka. Who has the chazaka? The father. Therefore, again, for monetary, as much as Rav will say, will allow her to do nisuin, and will allow her to go ahead and eat truma, but from a monetary, from a financial perspective, she's still considered to be in the domain of her father, als yerusha. So the Gemara goes weiter. Niskaj ladas. So this is the next case. She becomes Mikudesh Das Avia. In other words, her father is Mikadesh to this man. But then she does Nisuin without her father's consent. But Va'avia Khan. Rabbi says, as opposed to the first case where the father went overseas, in this case over here, what's happening? Father's right here. So she underwent Nisuin without the consent of her father, but her father's present. Rav Huna said, "Ein Ochelas." So Rav Huna said, Rabbi, in that case, she may not eat truma. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Ocheles. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba says she can eat. Rav Huna Amar Ein Ocheles. Why? Ba'afilu Rav Amar Ocheles Hasam Hu Delo Isei La'av. So also Rav Huna says she can't eat truma, because even according to Rav, who said in the previous case that she can't eat truma. That's why. Because the father wasn't present. Aval Hacha Di Isei La'av. But here the father is present. If the father is present, so I didn't say anything. Hay Di Ishtek Mirsach Rasach. You know why I didn't say anything? He's brayus, right? He's upset. He's angry at his daughter for doing this. But again, his silence does not. It's not like a shtika kodah. It's not like his silence represents an acquiescence. He's angry. So because he's angry, therefore, again, the nisuin is not good. Because the nisuin is not good, therefore, she can't eat truma. On the other hand, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Ocheles, On the other hand, Rabbi Yerba Abba says, no, she can't eat. Why? And even according to Ravasi, you said before that she can't eat. That's only because we're concerned that her father is overseas. He's going to come back home and what? He's going to object to the marriage. But here the father is standing right here. Since he's quiet, must be that what? He's actually okay with this marriage. So Bosa, you understand, the fundamental machlokis over here is how we interpret paternal silence. So the first opinion will say that we interpret paternal silence as anger, the displeasure. The father is unhappy with his daughter's decisions, but ultimately, again, he's voicing his displeasure with stone cold silence. Second opinion says no, silence is acquiescence. Shtiga koda. Father could have objected. The fact that he's not objecting indicates that what? That he's okay with this. Was it just incredible? Says the Gemara. Niskancha next. Niskancha lo das avias. Listen to this case. So we'll say, so in this case over here, she accepted kiddushin shlo das avia. V'nisei shlo das avia. V'avia kan. We'll say, listen to this case. This case is, the ketana. So she accepted kiddushin. She accepted kiddushin without the knowledge of her father. And she also accepted nisuin without the knowledge of her father. But in both of these cases, v'avia kan, her father's right here. So the father witnessed the erusin, didn't say anything, saw the nisuin, didn't say anything. Rav Huna said, now this is the case, she's marrying a kohen, she's permitted to eat truma. Rav Yirmiya bar Abba amar ein ochalas. And Rav Yirmiya bar Abba said that she does not eat. She does not eat truma. So Amra Ula, said, listen to this. So ha de Rav Huna's shita, that she could eat truma under these circumstances, kechomet l'shinayim, is like vinegar to the teeth, uka asher le'inayim, and like smoke to the eyes. In other words, I think you might be incorrect. Right? So Ula said, literally, Rav Huna, what you're saying, it literally, to hear your words, is pashat painful. It's pashat painful to say that you're permitting her to eat truma under these circumstances. Hashta umahasam dikidushe daraisa amrit lo achla. So what did Rav Huna say? Rav Huna said in the previous case where what? Where the father was mekadesh her, but she did nisuin on her own. Rav Huna said earlier that what? That eino ochala, she can't eat truma. And that was the case where at least what? The fact that the father's mekadesh means she's biblically married. Okay, she did nisuin on her own, but she's biblically married. And yet in that case, he said she couldn't eat truma. Here in this case, where she's doing kiddushin and nisuin without the father, now you're saying she can eat truma? So the Gemara says, hashta uma hasam di kiddushe doraisa. When the father betrothed her, but yet she accepted her own nisuin. Amrit lo achla, you said she can't eat truma. Hachala kol, she can certainly over here where she's accepting kiddushin and doing kiddushin and nisuin on her own. She certainly should not be able to eat. Top of membav, nirin divrei talmud. To which the Gemara says, Einachinami, Ula's words seem to say, in other words, Ula's statement. About Rav Huna's words seems to be correct. The Rav Huna just must be wrong. So on the other hand, Amar Rava, Rava said, no, I'll tell you, my time is Rav Huna. What's Rav Huna's reason? They both say, so again, let's analyze this. How could it be that Rav Huna said before that in the case where the father accepts kiddushin for the girl, but then the girl does nisuin on her own, Rav Huna said she can't eat truma in that case. And yet here you're going to say that Rav Huna says where she does kiddushin on her own, nisuin on her own, that Rav Huna is going to say she can eat truma? Rav says, I'm going to tell you why. What's the case over here? Remember, what's the case over here? The case is where the girl accepts kiddushin and nisuin and what? But her father's right here. Rava said, what does that say if the girl accepts kiddushin and nisuin in the presence of the father and the father doesn't say anything? So Rava says, what Rav Huna means to say is, that's a case of where she becomes an orphan in the presence, in the lifetime of her father, which means what they're both saying, that there are times where a father relinquishes his rights to his daughter. So what Rava is suggesting that the shita of Rav Huna is that if a girl does these things in the presence of her father, and her father doesn't say boo, doesn't say anything, that tells us that the father is essentially saying to his daughter, you're on your own. You're on your own. Look at Rashi. Rashi is hol v'naase ba maase yisom b'chayav b'chayov kidsha v'yasiya atzma shlo l'dayto kilu hi yisoma. So we'll say in this case where she is conducting all of this, she's accepting kiddushin, and she's entering into Nisuin without his knowledge, but again in his presence, ki'ilu hi yisoma, it's like she's an orphan, v'hu roe v'shasak, he sees the father sees all this and he's quiet, o hifkir zichus, or he gives up his right, sheyesh lo ba, that he has in her, o shtikasa hoda, or he's acquiescing, tibishlam and his kachla daito, v'nisei shlo daito, ikala member v'chada shtika mersach rasach, avakule lo shasak. Well, so listen to this. So remember, let's go back before, because what the Rashi's addressing is, you just said before that it's possible that when he's silent, what does silence mean? Silence, paternal anger. That's fine in a case where what? Where the father exercised his paternal rights and did married her off, meaning accepted kiddush on her behalf, and then she does nisuin on her own, and the father's silent. That's where you can say, oh, that paternal silence can represent paternal anger. Bregis, you're doing that in front of me. I'm your father. You have no right to do that. But I'm both saying, in a case like this, where literally, again, he's silent every step of the way, that represents an abdication of parental rights. And because he's giving up his parental rights, therefore, halacha lemaisa, what? She's considered to be a yisom b'chayei aviha, and that could be the case where Rav Huna ultimately says that she would be permitted to go ahead and eat truma. So, Bosse, remember again, for our purposes, all of these how do we paskin? Halacha lemaisa. So we paskin, Rav Huna says, ultimately, again, in the first case, we pass like Rav Asi, that ultimately, if she went ahead and she did kiddushin ledasavia in accordance with her father, right? Her father accepted kiddushin, and then her father went overseas, and she went ahead and she accepted nisun on her own. We pass like Rav Asi, namely she can't eat truma. Why? Because we're concerned that lamaisa the father will come back and object to the nisuin. Remember, I'll say objecting to the nisuin, you'll say to yourself, well, why would he do that? He was mekadisher. He just might not want the nisuin to take place now. So therefore, it turns out that lamafreya she's going ahead and she's eating truma. Non kohenis is eating truma. For the Magen Rabbeinu say, so that's how he passed in that particular case. The second case, where she was neskad shaladas, v'niseis shaloladas, but the father is present, so she becomes mikudesh for the father. The father accepts kiddushin, but ultimately she does nisuin on her own, but her father is present. We pass in again like Rav Huna, that what? Ino ochela. So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha lemaisa, the only time that the ketanu gets married is going to be able to eat truma is when Rabbeinu say, when her father agrees to the kiddushin, and her father agrees to the nisuin. However, if you do have a situation where what? Where lemaisa, the father clearly abdicates all parental rights, then eina chinami, if the girl accepts kiddushin and nisuin on her own, she will be able to eat truma, because in that case, she's a yisoma v'chaye avia. All right, we'll stop by. We'll pick up.
Midoraisa,
I'm sorry?
She's not married midoraisa.
Correct. Correct. She will not be married midoraisa. That is correct. But because same way that if her mother or her brother marry her off, she could also eat truma. So again, you don't have to have biblical marriage to go ahead and be able to eat truma, even rabbinic marriage. If you want to know the mechanics of that, that's because remember, you could eat truma as long as you're kinyan kaspo of the coin. So technically speaking, as long as there is a monetary relationship between husband and wife, technically speaking, she'll be able to eat truma. All right, we'll stop over here for today. We'll continue with Itmar tomorrow.